We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Jason.
Good morning, everybody.
So how you been, man? Haven't talked to you in a little while. So how you hanging out?
Doing well. We've got the Atlanta United 2 games going now. We had a game last night, so we're getting weekly matches with those at the moment, the way the schedule's working out. So getting to see a few games in person, which is kind of weird with nobody in the stands and hearing everything from the field, but feels kind of close to normal at least.
Yeah, we're trying to get there. We're trying to get there.
Where do we stand on the MLS coming out with a schedule so we know when Atlanta United is going to play again?
It's not easy for MLS at this point, and I'm sure the Major League Baseball situation has maybe made MLS go back and check and double check and triple check protocols and make sure you can set up situations that will at their best try to eliminate these situations that we've seen with the Marlins and the Cardinals. You also have the complications with three Canadian teams, and how do you deal with three teams finding a place to play? It sounds like in the initial phase of MLS's return to playing in home markets, the Canadian teams will only play one another for a few weeks, trying to buy some time and see if the policy about cross-border travel and mandatory quarantines change. Don't know if that will, and then that means Toronto and Montreal and Vancouver are going to have to find places to base in the United States to play out a schedule. So there's a lot of different complications going on here. You also have to make up games for Dallas and Nashville, and there's reports that that could start as soon as next week, where they get the three games that they didn't play in the MLS's back tournament that counted towards regular season. They play one another for those. It is trying to piece together a schedule and some form of a competitive format that makes a little bit of sense to then get to a playoff and then get to a champion.
You know, with all that being said, Eric Torres, he's a big acquirement acquired by Atlanta United. Does he come in and immediately become a starter?
I think once he's fit, he does. I mean, he's a guy who has scored double-digit goals in his two full MLS seasons. Now, he struggled when he went back to play in Liga MX. He came up through the Chivas de Guadalajara system, then came over to Chivas USA when they were operating a club in Major League Soccer and did really well. Then he went to the Houston Dynamo. They loaned him out. It didn't really stick. He comes back to Houston and has a good year in 2017. They get a big transfer and sell him back to Mexico, and he bounces around. He becomes a little bit of a journeyman in Mexico. His last club was Tijuana, and Tijuana's been through multiple managerial changes, and you know how it can go sometimes for a player who is trying to find their form, and the manager who brought them in is then let go, and then the next manager's let go, and you can't get any stability and you can't get any momentum. Kubo Torres comes here with an opportunity, once he's healthy, to be the starter while Joseph Martinez is out, and to be able to get a proven goal scorer in that situation on a free transfer, it's a good piece of business by Atlanta United.
Talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst on the WadeFord.com hotline, you mentioned Atlanta United 2 is playing, and you had a chance to see them. Can you tell us and the fans, are there a guy or two that's, within the system, coming out of the academy, hasn't made Atlanta United 2 or a guy in Atlanta United 2 that you're now kind of the next George Bello? I mean, kind of a guy you're looking at that, next year or year after is going to have a big impact on this team?
There's a number of guys coming through Atlanta United, too, right now. They're playing, on average, a lineup that is average age around 20 years old. They're playing teams that generally are at least 6, 7, sometimes 8 or 9 years older than them. And that's good experience for this young group. You know, the Atlanta United Academy started the year before the first team did. So those guys that started in the academy that were 11, 12 in that first year are now getting to the point where they're starting to get some minutes with Atlanta United too, playing in professional games. They can do that and keep their college eligibility, and it gives the club, you know, the best of both worlds. I think you look at, you know, players who are playing a lot of minutes this year. Coleman Gannon is a young player who's come through for the first time with this team in the midfield. He's played a little bit of everywhere, to be honest. He's got a bit of a swagger to him that you don't see normally from a teenage player. Will Riley's been consistent with Atlanta United too for almost a full season now, playing a lot of minutes, very steady in the central midfield. I mean, they've been playing a 15-year-old in Caleb Wiley at left back, and if you just watched him play, if I just told you go watch this game, you couldn't pick out the 15-year-old. There's no way you could pick him out. He plays with a composure you're just not used to seeing from a player that young.
Jurgen Damm, you know, I've heard a lot about the last couple of weeks about his speed. Is he somebody that's looked at as a possible starter, or is he going to be like a second-half sub to bring in, you know, to like change the speed of the game a little bit?
I'm intrigued to see how he fits, because Jurgen Damm has been a player who's predominantly played as a right winger in a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3 kind of shape, or even a 4-4-2. Atlanta United this season has primarily played out of a 3-4-3. It's easy to shift from a 3-4-3 to a 4-3-3. I don't know if Damm would really fit as that wing back. We haven't seen it yet, but he has some of the characteristics that could work. We just haven't seen him defend as much in that kind of role. His speed is a game-breaking element, and you want to find a way to put him in positions to succeed. The thing about Jurgen Damm that has been the question mark in his career, you know, honestly from day one, has been, can the passing, can the crossing improve? It's not where it needs to be. And can Atlanta United, who is not a typical crossing kind of team, even with Joseph Martinez in, if you think back to so many of the crosses that you would see from a Julian Gressel, for example, he wasn't putting in just aerial crosses looking for a forward to go up and get their head on it. He would make a pass from that position, and he'd get his head up. He'd cut it back on the ground to the top of the penalty area, top of the box. He'd look for that late runner. If Jurgen Damm can do more of that and less of just the traditional putting in crosses and hoping somebody gets on the end of it, if he can start to pick out those passes, he'll be a very dangerous weapon for Atlanta.
Talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst. Well, they're chirping down in Orlando. And rightfully so, I guess. You know, I mean, but, you know, as to whether or not this is going to really turn into a rivalry, no matter what happened in this MLS's back tournament, bad for us, good for them. Fact of the matter is, until they beat us, we don't have much of a rivalry, do we? Because they're saying, oh, it's on now. I'm like, well, okay, is it?
Well, see, I've always felt like it's a rivalry because we talk about it all the time. You know, if it's not a rivalry, we're not talking about it. We're always talking about it, even when Orlando hasn't beaten Atlanta United yet. I think when that happens, and it's going to happen at some point. Everybody, you know, has that happen at some point. It will be more of a rivalry. But look, this is a game that neither team likes one another. You know, they don't. There's always an extra edge to it. The fans don't like one another. I mean, it's just one of those games that has that little extra something to it. And it's always better in those situations where both teams are competitive. Orlando hasn't been competitive so far in their run in MLS until now. And the reason why they're competitive now is they've hired a great manager in Oscar Pereja. They've made some good signings. They still have some work to do to improve that roster. But this is a group led by a manager who can win in this league. He's got a supporter shield. He's got a U.S. Open Cup to his name that is not going to go away anytime soon. They finally got the right people in place to lead that group.
All right. If you say, I'm going to go with you. You're the expert.
I mean, yeah, kind of is.
Sorry, I know you have issues with Orlando, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, when your fans are throwing, you know, water bottles at our guys and everything else, I've got to, yeah, a little bit, yeah. I mean, just a tad. You know, I mean, so, okay. Well, we got to get on our game first, but I can't worry about them. We got to worry about us.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea? You said, I know you said, and I want to go back to the kind of where I started here, Jason. You said, you know, MLS is working through a lot. I get it. But if you have to take a ballpark as to when we're going to see the team, can you give us that?
Well, it's looking like, according to reports out of the Washington Post, Stephen Goff, and reports out of The Athletic, that there will be a full round of games the weekend of August 21st. We haven't seen any rumored opponents or dates for Atlanta United yet, but other teams, there's dates leaking out that weekend. So, and it appears it's going to be six games in the first 3 weeks, so it's going to be a very busy jump back into the regular season. Teams are preparing for it, so we're just waiting on the dates to get announced.
All right, so within the next 2 weeks, we'll get a chance to see Stephen Glass in his debut. And you know, Kubo Torres and Jurgen Damm and kind of the new look of this team. All right, well, I'm anxious to see it. And hopefully it works because we know what happened down there in that town down there in the middle of Florida did not.
Hermetically sealed bubble. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Jason, as always, do appreciate it, my friend.
You the man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.